800-823-8255. Yes, that's 800-823-TALK. Good morning. I am Ron Wilson, your personal yard boy, talking about yardening, moving our way right on through the month of October. And let's kick off our show, as we always do, with the man, the myth, the legend, the one and only, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Joe Strecker, our executive producer, finding what's going on in his wife's lawn and landscape, and, of course, our website, ronwilsononline.com, Facebook page In the Garden with Ron Wilson. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, and I know our friends in Louisiana are getting hammered.
Wow.
I mean, how many? What's that, six hurricanes they had or something like that?
This makes nine tropical storms, I think. Isn't that what it is? It's a record breaker?
Nuts. It's nuts.
Crazy. I don't know what it is. But
I feel bad for those people.
I think Lake Charles is the second within 6 weeks or something like that, 4 weeks they've been. I don't know. But, yeah, that's crazy.
It's crazy. However, in our area, we've seen, like, none of that rain.
Nada.
And we need it badly. Now, we're supposed to get some this weekend.
Tomorrow, right?
This weekend sometime.
Okay.
But at the beginning of the week, we were supposed to get it Thursday going into Friday, and then Saturday.
Then they backed off.
Now they've totally backed it off, and in our area, we'd be lucky to get a half inch.
Yeah.
So what does that mean?
That means not good.
That means, yeah, because we're already in a
that means
drought squared.
Don't wait on it. Don't pretend it's going to show up. It ain't going to show. Just this is not going to get here. So water. It's hurt. We're hurting out there.
Yeah,
you look at plants. I mean, they are dry.
In our area, we just look. I mean, my backyard, I haven't mowed the backyard in a month.
Yeah, I
guess it's not growing.
It's because you don't mow it.
Well, but
the girls haven't mowed the backyard.
There hasn't been any kind of mowing in a month.
Yeah,
nothing's growing.
Yeah,
the lawn is not grown at all.
Yep.
I mean, we haven't done the front in like 6 weeks.
Don't want this happening. Make sure. And you know what? It does scare me, Joe. And we'll talk about this later. But you know, you look around, and I just don't see sprinklers going. I don't see irrigation systems going a little bit extra. I don't see anything happening out there. I think, you know, we get this time of the year and folks just shut it off and leaves are falling and everything's shutting down. So I just don't, you know, it's dry, but that's just the way it is and plants will be all right.
Yeah.
Evergreens are, I'm telling you, I'm starting to see some brown evergreens out there that shouldn't be happening, and it's not a good situation. So if it's dry in your area, all I can suggest is that you water. And the extra water cost in your water bill is going to be well worth it, trust me.
Yeah, and then you get those questions plants in the spring wanting to know.
Yeah, next spring when it come out of the wintertime, why the winter killed this, or we get into the summer, why it's starting to turn brown all of a sudden, and that's look back. It'll tell you all about it.
Yeah.
So, not a good thing.
So, get out and water.
Water.
It's a water weekend.
And if it does rain in our area, great, then you add to it. You know, that adds to what you've done. But, you know, pretend it's not going to rain and get out and water.
Yes, exactly.
Very dry.
Exactly.
As a matter of fact, it's so dry, Joe, I hope you plant that little plant that's sitting out at the end of your sidewalk by the lamppost soon, because it was looking awfully dry the other day.
Yeah. We'll do that. It was right by the skeleton.
Uh-huh.
What were you doing? So, as usual, the garden fairy shows up on my side of town, doesn't ring the doorbell or anything.
You weren't
just kind of walks by.
You weren't home.
So, here's if I'm home. My mom and dad are always home.
I was on my way somewhere, but I drove, purposely drove by the Strecker Estate, and I saw that little 1 gallon, what is it, a little salvia or something sitting out there? I don't know what it is.
No, it's the yellow, what was it?
The goldenrod.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was looking a little wilty.
I'm not in charge of that anymore.
I have to surprise Joe and say, Joe, you got to water that little plant.
In charge of that anymore.
But otherwise, it was looking good.
Thanks.
The flowering things in that little strip there looked good.
Yep. I had nothing to do with it. Absolutely nothing other than being the mule.
It's all right.
So, and we had some decent weather this past week, especially in our area. It was really nice.
I thought you'd be more surprised that I saw that.
I was more surprised that you didn't bother to ring the doorbell.
You weren't home.
How do you know I wasn't home?
Because I know what time it was, and I know where you are at that particular time. Hmm.
Sneaking on over.
Anyway.
We had some good weather this week. Nice.
It was a nice week.
Nice evenings to walk around.
Evenings have cooled down a little bit, but, you know, you don't have to have a jacket on.
Nope.
But nice and cool. And mornings have been nice, and the daytimes have been nice. Like 80, I think, today. Is it supposed to get 80?
Yeah, but then a cool front next week.
Tomorrow and next week, so back into the 70s and all that.
Yeah.
We'll take it.
So
just need the rain.
Yes.
Bring us some rain.
It's a water weekend.
So you water Joe's 1 gallon goldenrod that's wilted.
Yeah, if you're my neighbor, water it for me. What's on tap for the show today?
You know, with this time of the year, right about mid-October, you start to get the heaviest fall, typically, of black walnuts, if you have a walnut tree. And so we're going to talk. She's been on our show before, which is kind of interesting. Talking with Charlotte Waltz, who oversees the Nut Wizard. You remember the Nut Wizard?
Yep.
And she talks about also going to talk about these black walnuts and how to cure them, how to take care of them. And you know, you can sell those. There are places you can take those that will haul those for you, and you can actually sell the black walnuts as well. So we're going to talk about that. It's kind of an interesting topic, you know, and it's fun.
Cottage industry, huh?
Huh?
Cottage industry, huh?
Yeah. So you have black walnut?
Nope. We only have
a locust tree in your backyard.
Yep. We used to have a cherry tree too.
And of course, we have lots of tips to share, and we have Buggy Joe Boggs and you
and everyone who's listening,
and everybody in between talking about yarding.
Yep. So, website.
Don't forget it's Dr. Z's birthday month, by the way.
Oh, it is?
He reminds me. Oh, yeah, he reminds me twice a week.
Well, he doesn't text me anymore. Maybe he got the hint
21st,
when
I think.
Maybe he got the hint when I blocked him.
What is our website? It's RonWilsonOnline.com, and I forwarded last week the Rita's recipe for the fresh apple cake to Dr. Alan Armitage, who is Mr. Apple. He was all over that. He was so excited to get that recipe and make it. It was crazy.
Nice.
So I think he's going to be on with us next week. But
nice.
Yeah, so he enjoyed it.
Now,
so
there's plenty of Rita's recipe this week left. Now, usually, Dan the man, he inhales Rita's food that she brings in.
Mm-hmm.
He just, it's gone by the time we even get here.
Especially that cake last week.
That cake,
it
didn't even make it out of her hand. I think he
Yeah.
But this week, I know for a fact Dan doesn't like squash.
I'm with Dan on that one, so you can have it.
So, what we'll do is we'll play rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah.
And whoever loses has to eat it.
What?
I'm kidding, Rita. I'm kidding. I'm just kidding.
Oh, hey, she caught you last week with your stuff about how old she was. And
you were encouraging me.
I wasn't encouraging you.
At all.
She caught it.
At all. No, I'm kidding, Rita.
She said she's going to get you.
If you like squash, this recipe's for you. I'm kind of on the fence. I like it.
And if you don't like squash, this may be something you might want to try.
Yeah,
maybe you
try.
Would like squash.
You know, I'm
not a big squash.
I am neither here nor there with me. It's not like one of my favorites, but it's not like, you know, beets. So
I like beets.
I don't like beets at all. They're disgusting.
Yeah.
They're evil. So
ever try them on the grill?
No. I'm not going to ruin my grill.
Put a radish. Ever tried radishes on the grill?
Never tried radishes.
Ooh, they're great.
I'm not going to ruin my grill. Put a beet on it.
Put a radish on there. Put a beet on there. Just grill it.
No.
Might as well just grill it.
Yeah, sure. You go ahead and do that.
I did. And they're good.
They're good.
Mm-hmm.
And
Mom and Dad would like them.
Mom would. Dad would.
Oh.
We're talking about triple galls.
Okay.
This week, a triple gall. What the heck is that? I think
it's a cool looking gall.
Buggy Joe made that up, I think.
Well, he does most of that
stuff.
But it's a pretty cool looking gall. I like that one.
So we got triple galls.
Yeah.
And he also did the plan of the week this
week. Yes, he did. I agreed with him on that one because, of course, fall color and everything. That tree is probably one of the most spectacular of all of them.
Sweet gum.
Sweet gum.
Sweet gum is the plant of the week.
So why don't people plant more sweet gums, Joe?
I don't know.
Because it's kind of lost its favor in a lot of landscapes. And it is one of the most spectacular fall color. And the leaf is like your hand's a star-shaped leaf.
Doesn't that take a long time to grow?
No. It's a pretty quick grower. It takes moisture. It takes all kinds of conditions. It's very durable tree. And it used to be one of the most popular trees that we planted as shade trees. But why has it lost favor in the landscape? Think about it. One of the questions we get about sweet gums.
They have little things on them.
Exactly. Sweet gum balls.
Oh.
And when those things drop in the fall and through the winter and into the springtime, folks don't like those dropping in there. They have those little spines on them.
Yeah.
Yeah, you probably used them when you were a kid craft class and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, and
making spiders.
Or if you're walking around in the yard, you don't see one.
And you step on one. It can hurt when they're hard. Well, so that's kind of why people don't plant them as much anymore. Now, there are some newer selections that have less fruit or are sterile. So hoping to bring it back onto the market again. But I'll tell you, that is a great treat. Now, we talked about early with Charlotte Waltz going to be on the show with Nut Wizard. Guess what Nut Wizard does?
They recycle them?
They pick up they pick up the sweet gum balls.
Okay.
So it all ties together.
Oh,
so it's an
go.
Easy way to pick up sweet gum balls.
You happen to notice that the sweet gum ball, the little seed, is that a seed pod out what it is?
It's the seed pod. There's a whole bunch of seeds inside.
Yeah, it kind of looks like the coronavirus, doesn't it?
Exactly.
Maybe that's why people aren't.
So if you want to know what it looks like the coronavirus.
Yeah, yeah. Let's not. Well,
there's two sausage burritos.
Let's not grow that tree.
That's not a don't be afraid of the sweet gum.
Don't be afraid of the sweet gum. Okay. Wear a mask next to it.
Don't let the sweet gum balls rule your life.
Yes. So yeah.
But anyway, there are some new selections. We'll talk about those later on. But for fall color, and it's a great tree, sweet gum.
Sweet gum
tree.
That's
Joe's pick of the week.
Sweet gum tree.
I stuck with it.
Cool. Well, I got to bolt on out of here because apparently I got an order for something to go get.
Looks like the kids are up and the wife's up and you're ready to go. Bring home breakfast.
Looks like it.
Joe Strecker, our executive producer. Of course, if you like what you see on our Facebook page, In the Garden with Ron Wilson, or if you like our website at ronwilsononline.com, guess what? Joe had absolutely everything to do with all the postings you see on there, but there was something on there you don't like?
Not my fault.
Wasn't his fault. He had nothing to do with it.
Nope.
Nothing at all.
Nope.
Absolutely zero.
Nope.
800-823-8255. That's our number here in the Garden with Ron Wilson.
Dr. Z.
The Durango Kid.
And Ron Wilson.
And Joe Strecker.
Oh, who's that?
Yeah, you.
Landscaping made easier with your personal yard boy. He's in the garden, and he's Ron Wilson.
Welcome back. You're in the Garden with Ron Wilson. Again, that toll-free number, 800-823-8255. To Dayton, Ohio, we go. Miss Lee, Miss Lee, Miss Lee, Miss Lee, Miss Lee.
That's me.
That's you. Good morning.
Good morning. You're keeping me company. I fell on the way to the refrigerator, so, you know, I can sit here and wait until 8 o'clock for somebody to get me up.
To what?
Well, you know, it was a small trip. I thought I could do it. Anyway, my dad, we had a lot out at Lake Shawnee.
Yes.
And it was covered with black walnut trees. And so we kept the bet one for my dad, and he would spread them out on the garage floor on newspapers right in between the wheels of each car.
Yep.
And then he'd pick them all winter, and, oh, he loved it. And that's why they're so expensive. It's because they are just frippin' impossible to crack and pick. But he'd sit there and pick them. I just paid a fortune for 8 ounces of black walnuts.
Yeah, black walnuts are expensive. And, you know, it's got a different flavor. There's something, you know, it's not like...
Oh, yeah,
you know,
it's delicious.
But when
absolutely delicious.
I love it in baked, like cakes and stuff like... Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, unbelievable. It's the only cake I like.
I thought you were going to say he drove over them with the car wheels to crack them open.
No, he had his method, and I still have his picking stuff. And I went back when my mother died, and I have a basket of black walnuts in the garage, which I keep saying, I'm going to pick these one time. We'll see.
Yeah, good luck with that. I tell you, it is. But you know what? And it's a messy job.
I know it is.
And there are now hauling stations all around. Every state's got them where you can actually take them, and they'll for a fee, they'll run it through a hauler. And take all that
really?
Off. For yeah, so you can take all that off.
I probably don't have enough. No, I mean, I don't have. I just have, I don't know, some big plant pot full of them.
Yeah, but it's amazing. People show up with just like a bag full of them, and they'll run
it
through
a
hauler.
Oh, that would be neat.
Yeah.
I'll check it out.
Yeah, so you
all right.
Can do that.
I have looked at the 10-day forecast. There is no fall in sight. I mean, this is better than our usual fall. I'd like to ask Ron Rothis. This is better than what we usually have, but it's still, and it's so dry.
Oh.
I bought bulbs a couple of weeks ago, and I talked to you about them. You said, don't plant them yet. It's too warm.
Yep.
Should I put them in the refrigerator?
No. No, you're good. Just keep them out, you know, keep them in the garage or whatever. They're fine. It's
okay.
Just, I like to hold off until the latter part of October, even into early November to plant them, but... You know, we get a little moisture in the ground here. It's going to happen in a couple more weeks. You know it's going to break. It has to.
Yeah.
Keep our fingers crossed, but you got plenty of time to do it. But don't worry about putting them in the refrigerator or whatever. They'll get that cold period in November, December, January, February. They'll be good to go.
All right, works for me.
Well, good luck with everything. If you need us, just give us a call back.
Well, you know, just come get me, pull me up off the floor.
We'll send Danny up there to take care of you.
That's right.
All right. Thanks. Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Lee from Dayton. And just wait for somebody to show. How about that, Dan? So we're going to keep her company while she sits there and wait.
We can do that.
Yeah, we'll do that. We'll hang in there with her. Talking about yarding, of course, our number is 800-823-8255. She brings up a great point, which you're probably getting tired of me talking about every Saturday so far the last couple, 3 weeks here, but it is awfully dry. Now, we've got Delta, the Hurricane Delta, now tropical storm, moving our direction. Let's see what happens. Moving pretty quickly as I was watching the radar this morning. Hopefully, if you're in an area that's been pretty dry, you'll get that. We hope we get some of that as well. But again, it's so dry that as fast as it's moving through, I just can suggest that you build on it or build before it or build after it or whatever it may be. But if you know it's going to come to your area, and I think we're expecting it probably tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken, tonight or tomorrow, this would be a great day to get the irrigation system going. It'd be a great day to get the sprinklers going, great day to get the Ross root feeder out and start injecting water into the ground, because that way, if you pre-moisten the soil, and by the time the rain gets here, you absorb a lot more of it, because in our area, and they've done some research on this, which is kind of interesting, but when you've got really nasty clay soil, and a lot of times when they dig your home, they dig the basement, a lot of that soil winds up being on top of the ground instead of down deep where it needed to be to stay. It's nasty stuff. And that's why we're always talking about adding organic matter to your soil to try to improve the porosity of the soil, so to speak, so it's more open, it breathes better, and absorbs moisture better. And, you know, you'll get these rainfalls, even when you set up the sprinkler and you put the tin can out there and you let it sprinkle till, you know, you get an inch in the can. In many cases, although you put down an inch of rainfall, not an inch of rainfall penetrated that nasty clay soil. And so if you've got that, and a lot of us deal with that in many, many, many different states, and things grow in it, and it works, but, you know, the thing you got to remember is all of that doesn't necessarily make it into the soil. So pre-wet the soil before the rainfall gets there. If you can't do that, rainfall moves through, and then build on top of that and get the sprinklers going and add more moisture after the rainfall. But trust me, it's dry. I'm seeing the effects right now. If you aren't, open your eyes. It's bad news. 800-823-8255 here in the Garden with Ron Wilson.
For the do-it-yourself gardener at 1-800-823-TALK. You're in the garden with Ron Wilson.
Welcome back. Here in the Garden with Ron Wilson. Again, that toll-free number would be 800-823-8255. Talking about yarding and talking about how dry it is, and it's a serious thing out there. I can't stress it enough. I'm serious. And again, if you get the showers to move through, build on top of those showers from Delta. You need to. And as I was mentioning earlier, you know, the research has shown, and I thought every time I see that stat, it kind of amazes me. With really heavy clay soils, you get an inch of rainfall. You really don't get an inch of rainfall penetrating the soil. It can only take up so much during an hour's worth of time or whatever, and it does. You don't get the whole inch. So the thing to do is, you know, you got to water just a little bit longer, maybe, but build on the showers that come through. Very, very important. And I think the other thing I always try to bring up is that we're talking all the time about how important it is to add organic matter back to your soil, whether it be top dressing, whether it be vertical mulching, whether it be tilling the soil, working it in, hand tilling it in, whatever it may be. When you're planting new trees and shrubs, planting annuals, planting perennials, always trying to add a little bit of organic matter back to the soil as you're planting. As a matter of fact, in most cases, when I plant annuals, I will leave, at the end of the season, I'll just cut them off at the top of the ground and leave in the ground the potting soil that they came in, the roots that are down there, and let it just break down and add organic matter back to the soil. By doing that, by core aerating your turf, go out there and you core aerate, you know, you opened up the soil. But if you can take that extra step and you come back and you get some really fine compost, organic matter of some type, and you rake that in, not only as a top dressing, and by the way, golf courses do this as well, and they love especially doing it as a top dressing, rake that back in. So now you've added organic matter into those cores that you opened up, plus a little top dressing of organic matter as well. When I spoke earlier about those showers moving through and a lot of it just running off, especially if it's dry, now that you've opened that up, now that you've added that organic matter, it starts to make your soil more porous, and it actually starts to absorb that rainfall, that sprinkling system that you got going, the sprinkling, overhead sprinkler, whatever it may be. It starts to soak it in much better and becomes, it takes more advantage of the water when it gets the water. Plus, with the more poor soil, the loamier soil, you get better rooting. And when you get better and deeper rooting, what happens? Your turf, your trees and shrubs, whatever it may be, are more resistant to the drought situation because they have a deeper root system. So it all comes back to you. So I can't stress enough to you, when you're out there working in your yard, your garden, your landscape, whatever it may be, how important it is to always add organic matter back to the soil. I know this week I spoke with a gardener who keeps bags of pine soil conditioner. I think it's a great thing. In the garage or in the gardening shed, so that anytime they do any planting, they go grab a bag, they come out, and they add to the soil. The cow, I love that one. It's compost and composted manure together. Peat compost and compost manure together. Great combination. But anything like that, and you've always got it on hand so that anytime you're doing some kind of work in the soil, you go grab some of that and you put it back in the soil. What a wonderful thing to do. So you keep doing that. Trust me, it comes back to you tenfold down the road by putting that organic matter back into the soil. So keep it on hand all the time. If you're a composter and you're doing compost bins, you know, doing some type of composting, that's your source right there. You don't have to have bags of it in the garage. You just go to the compost pile, pull some compost out, mix it in with your soil. That's what composting is all about. You use up the yard, lawn, garden debris in your own yard. You compost it, and it turns into gardener's gold. You know, that is your organic matter. That is the stuff that you help to top dress your lawn. That's the stuff you add to your potting soil. That's the stuff you add to the garden. That's the stuff you add to the soil when you're planting. I just can't stress it enough. And if you're sitting there thinking right now, well, how do I add more organic matter to my existing beds? I got landscape beds. I've got perennial beds. I mean, the plants are already there. I can't till the soil. Correct. Think about what we do in the lawn. We core aerate. It's a type of vertical mulching, right? Where we punch those holes in the ground. We vertical mulch around trees. Been a process we've used for years and years and years. Drilling holes around the trees that we can come and backfill with. Sometimes we'll do coarse sand or pea gravel or use it to put fertilizer in or whatever. But opening up those, the soil around the trees. You can do the same thing in your existing beds. Go to your local independent garden centers, and they'll have garden augers that you put on the end of your cordless or cord drill. And, you know, they may only be an inch or inch and a half in diameter. You go down about 12 inches. That's all you need to go down, about 12 inches. Drill that out. You just go around randomly away from the plants and just drill holes in your beds. And then if you can come back and pour a little of the cow in there or pour a little bit of the pine soil conditioner or again, anything organic matter, your compost that you have, into those holes. Now you've started to add organic matter, these pockets, in your already existing planting beds. Comes back to you. Trust me, it comes back to you. The plants start to absorb the moisture better. It breathes better. They root in better. It really comes back. So there's many, many ways that you can continue to get compost back, or organic matter back into your soil. through core aerating, vertical mulching, top dressing alone. Ron Rothas, the arbor doctor, has shared with us many times the research that's been done around trees. Around trees by removing the, you got grass around the tree, getting the grass away from around the base of the tree. All right, get it away from there. And top dressing with mulch, composted material, compost, whatever it may be. The benefits that has, just that alone, starting to change the soil around the base of that tree. Of course, the mulching helps to keep the competition down with the grass and the weeds and keeps the roots cooler and helps to hold in a little bit of moisture. But just adding the compost and the mulch on top of that helps to, again, starts to just slowly but surely help to change the environment of that soil underneath. Somebody asked me the other day about coffee grounds. You know, is it really true? I see it all the time. Do coffee grounds really help? You're darn right they do. It's another way of adding, that's an easy way. Because, if you drink coffee, you should be taking those used coffee grounds and store them up, keep them in a jar or whatever, until you get a can full. And then, excuse me, go out into the landscape beds, go out into the turf, go out in the garden, whatever it may be, thank you very much, and sprinkle it in. That's all you have to do is just sprinkle it in. Don't worry about overdoing it. Just sprinkle it in. Another great way of adding organic matter. So, again, that's my soapbox for today, is adding organic matter to your soil, how important it is, especially during times like we're going through right now. A little tickle in the throat there. Before we take a break, let's go to Dayton. We're going to talk to our good buddy Dick. Good morning.
Good morning, Ron and Danny. How are you today?
We're good.
We are both doing well. How about yourself?
Good. Well, next week, I got a long week. Next Sunday,
Yeah.
The front end, Shane came in. We got prizes coming, for all the cashiers and all the effort. But still, the lumber area is still busy.
Staying busy. And it's finally starting to get lumber back in again, I've noticed.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you know what?
What?
The Miracle-Gro. The red bag,
yep.
The black bag.
Yep.
And the black, brown. And I was starting to think black and brown and red been selling quite a bit.
So people are, they're mulching now.
They're
planting. Oh, yeah. Good. They added some of that to the soil. Absolutely wonderful. And you should be a happy camper because your Bengals
came up with a win. I loved it. I was telling Danny, or I think I talked to McConnell yesterday. I told Jerry Jeff, I think if they go into Baltimore, I think Joe Burrow's going to put a show on, and I predicted a 3-point victory.
Against the Ravens?
Yeah.
Oh, you never know. You just never know, do you?
No, you don't. And, something I was telling Danny, you let me know next week, something came in the mail for you guys.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
Is this the video?
No.
No?
It's something from my heart. I think you'll like it.
Okay, we'll keep watching for it.
Okay.
Dick, always a pleasure talking to you.
Yeah.
Keep smiling.
Yeah.
All right. We love your up attitude all the time.
Yeah.
All right. Take care.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Dick from Dayton right there, ladies and gentlemen. Quick break. We come back. We will continue on. Coming up at the bottom of our next hour, we're going to talk with Charlotte Waltz. Who is Charlotte Waltz, you say? What a neat last name, Waltz. Anyway, we're going to talk to Charlotte about black walnuts. We were talking earlier with Lee about black walnuts. We're going to talk with Charlotte about black walnuts. It's a kind of a unique flavor, but she's right. We're going to talk about the hauling and processing and harvesting, which is kind of an interesting process. It's a tough one. But she's also got a product that we've talked with Charlotte about for years that I love that really helps you out when if you've got a walnut tree or a crab apple or an oak. Or a sweet gum, which is our tree of the week this week, and they happen to drop those little acorns or sweet gum balls or whatever it may be, we got a product that will help you out. That's all I'm going to say. We'll leave it from there. She'll be coming up at the bottom of the next hour. In the meantime, taking your calls at 800-823-8255 here in the Garden with Ron Wilson.
Landscaping made easier with your personal yard boy. He's in the garden, and he's Ron Wilson.
Welcome back. You're in the Garden with Ron Wilson. Again, that toll-free number would be 800-823-8255. Don't forget our website, ronwilsononline.com. Lots of good information on there for you, including Rita's recipe this week. It's a squash recipe using butternut squash with sausage. Now, that might have gotten your attention. I'm not a big squash eater, as Joe and I were talking earlier. How about you, Dan? You a big squash eater?
Not really.
Nah, but butternut squash, not too bad. I can handle that. My wife dices it up and bakes it, which isn't too bad. I can handle it. But here's a butternut squash with sausage in it. Now that, you know, kind of turned my head a little bit when I heard that one. Kind of brought me back around again. Because who doesn't like sausage? Kind of like bacon. I love sausage. But anyway, check it out. It's at ronwilsononline.com. And I think you should go back, and right below that, you'll see her recipe from last week, which is the fresh apple cake. Yeah. Dr. Alan Armitage, I sent that to him. You know Dr. Alan Armitage. And, of course, his latest book out there is the perennial book, and it's a fourth edition and absolutely a this book, I've spent more time the last probably 3 weeks going through that book. It's 1,089 pages, but it's a reference book for perennials, and it's updated. This is a fourth edition, which is kind of nice because it updates by, you know, getting up to date with some of the newer cultivars, newer selections that are out there for you in the perennials. But when you read through this one, it's not like just where you get the top and it's the genus, species, and then the common name, and then you work your way through. He actually talks about it. He's written in a, you know, like him talking to you about it. And it really is. It's a wonderful read. You can just sit down and read the thing like a book if you wanted to. But anyway, going through that, but it's a great one. But he loves apples. That's his favorite thing. And I sent that recipe to him, and he fired right back and said, I am all over this one. So check that out. It's Rita's Fresh Apple Cake and, of course, the squash recipe for this week as well. Buggy Joe Boggs posts and a whole lot more. So, again, it's at ronwilsononline.com.
You know, the picture of the squash up there, yeah, actually makes it look pretty good.
It does. I mean, you know, it's kind of the I focus it on the sausage. I don't know about you, but I'm a sausage.
Yeah, the sausage and the squash, it makes it look pretty good combination.
Yeah, it does. So any of Rita's recipes are outstanding.
Absolutely.
And you know that because you get to eat everything that she has on there, and we never get to see any of it, which is okay. It's the way it goes. You deserve it.
I understand.
Yeah.
Better than anybody.
You understand more than anybody else because you get all the food. All right, back to the gardening phone lines. We go at 800-823-8255. Mike in Lebanon, good morning.
Hey, Ron. Sorry. I was wondering, I've got a large, very large, like 16-foot bush in the back of my yard, and I trimmed it this summer down to about, about 12-foot, and it grew right back, even actually a little bit taller. Can I really take it down this fall? It's against the fence, and the fence is like 8 foot tall, mm-hmm, and I'd like to start back to about the 8 foot range, you know, and I see people cut, you know, bushes way off, you know, it's not, you know, like a burning bush, they cut them way down.
Yep.
This is not a burning bush. This is just a straight green bush with a pointed leaf with no flowers. So I'm sorry, I don't know the name of it.
Does it look like it was planted there? Did you plant it there?
Oh, we planted there, 20 years ago.
Okay, all right. Because the reason I ask is it just depends on what the shrub is, but it sounds to me like when you cut it back and it grew twice as big, that's probably will respond nicely to a hard cut back. Can you do it? Can you do it in the fall? You can. You can do it. I would wait till later. Wait till the thing, you know, goes dormant, so you don't try to stimulate any new growth, or just wait until the spring. Either way will work for you. You know, I'm more of a, you know, late winter, early spring, cut it back hard because right then, you know, it's putting all that energy as soon as it starts to come out into, you know, the new leaves and the new growing and recovering from the rejuvenation pruning. But can you do it in the fall? You can, and they're very forgiving and they'll usually come through okay. I'm just one for doing it late winter and early spring, but either way it'll work for you. And I think the thing to remember is if you want it below that 8 foot fence, right?
No, I around the 8 foot. You know, right. I want it to flow over the fence a little bit, but not. It's taller than the tip of my house right now.
Okay.
So, you know, I mean, it's a major, it's going to be half the size. I just want it, you know, maybe a foot taller than my, maybe up to 10 foot, you know, when it's, I mean, when it's fully green.
Sure. Then my my point would be then cut it back even more than that.
Right. I didn't know if it would kill it off or anything like that. I mean, it seems like a very hardy bush, and we've had it forever.
Yep. I'll tell you what you can do. If you take a couple pictures of it up close to the leaves of the stem and an overall shot of the pic of the shrub, email that to me. I'll tell you what it is.
Oh, great!
And then we know for sure, and then we can take it from there. But from what you've described to me, it sounds like something you could probably, you know, there are some shrubs out there we've done basal pruning where we actually took it off at the ground and had it come right up back up in the ground. There are some that just come right back and flush up and do a nice job. So
yeah, and, you know, it's like burning, but I've got some beautiful burning bushes, mm-hmm. and you know, I trimmed those in, you know, late February, and it works great.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But I didn't know with this one, I would just, you know, it sounds like a nice fall project. Just, you know, because it's you know, obviously after you cut it down, you got to, you know,
get rid of all the other stuff.
Yeah, yep. Bundle it all up and everything.
Yeah,
so
if you're going to do it, I'd wait until we get to more toward late October into November.
Okay.
So we make sure that thing
so
is dormant.
The cold doesn't really affect it that much. I mean, like if we have a winter.
Now, what the cold can do is slow down the sealing over process of where you pruned it. That sometimes that can do that where it doesn't actually seal over as quickly. In that particular case, probably not going to be an issue.
Okay.
So that's why I say either way. But send me the picture so we can just identify what it is, and then we'll, you know, that way you know for sure.
Thank you very much.
All right, Mike. Good luck with everything.
Thank you.
All right,
bye-bye.
Take care, and feel free to do that. If you have a, you know, a lot of folks will move into a new home, or they'll plant shrubs and not know what they are, forget what they are, just like with Mike. And that does happen sometimes. In most cases, we can identify it for you. Take a couple good shots of it up close so we can see the leaves and the stem. And then the overall plant itself, so we can see how it's growing and then see the leaves up close. And 9 times out of 10, we're pretty good at it. We can identify it for you, and that way you know what you're dealing with. Weeds the same way. You know, a lot of times when you're taking care, you know, you got an issue with weeds in a garden or in a landscape bed, and you've tried it, you've done this, you've done that, and they keep coming back up, you know, in many cases, if we can identify what we're dealing with, it makes it a lot easier. Mostly because if we can identify whether it's a perennial or an annual. Because if it's an annual and it comes back up, when you pull it out of the ground or cut it off, it's done. It's dead. That's finished. Done deal. It comes back up from seed. So we know to get rid of the plant and then put down a pre-emergent to stop the seeds. If it comes, you know, you cut it back, you do whatever, and it just keeps coming back and keeps coming back, right back up again, then chances are it may be a perennial. So therefore, we've got to go after it a little bit differently, using maybe a systemic herbicide to get down in there and take out the roots. Plus, it may be coming back from seed as well. We may need to use a pre-emergent. But knowing whether it's an annual or perennial can really help you out as far as what method you go after it, as far as getting it under control. Well, anyway, point being is, feel free to send those pictures. We'll try to help you out as much as we can. It's at ronwilsononline.com. Take a quick break. We come back. Phone lines are open for you. It's 800-823-8255. Website, ronwilsononline.com. Coming up at the bottom of the next hour, Charlotte Waltz. We're going to talk about those black walnuts. What a tough job that is, a nasty job trying to haul those. Maybe she's got some tips for us there. And an easy way to pick them up. And the acorns and the crab apples and all the other things. Coming up in our next hour, here in the garden with Ron Wilson.
Gardening questions? Ron has the answers at 1-800-823-TALK. You're in the garden with Ron Wilson.
Our toll-free number, 800-823-8255. Good morning. I am Ron Wilson, your personal yard boy. We're talking about yarding, working our way right on through the month of October. It's a dry one. Nice weather so far. I don't think it's, remember last year, boy, the first week in October here was 90 degrees. It was horrible. But, we've had a couple of 80s, but otherwise staying in the 70s, 60s, some cooler night temperatures out there. It's been great. The only problem is no rain. Nada, zero, zip. I mean, we've had some, but not enough. And it is dry. So I continue to stress to you, if it is dry in your area, please do not wait. Do not hesitate. When this show is over, get outside, get the irrigation systems going, get the sprinklers going, get the Ross root feeders going, whatever it may be. But let's get out there and water those evergreens. Let's water those larger trees and shrubs, those newly planted trees and shrubs. Let's get moisture in that ground. It's going to be really, really, really important that you do that, especially as we go into the fall and winter season. Do not let your plants go into the fall and winter under a drought stress. Not a good idea. Please keep up your watering. As a matter of fact, you look around our area right now, we're starting to go through our natural needle drop on a lot of the evergreens, and it'll be accelerated or intensified by the lack of moisture. But on top of that, we're still seeing evergreens showing browning on the tips and things like that. And that's all, I can tell you right now, I can look at pictures or whatever, it's all part of being too dry. It's just the way it is. And, you know, evergreens up and just dying. Arborvitae is up and dying. Been there for 4 or 5 years. You got to water. If you don't, it's going to come back to get you. Keep up with the watering, please. Build on the showers that move through your area if by chance they do. Sprinkle before, sprinkle afterwards, whatever it may be. But please keep putting moisture in that ground. Very, very important. Back to the gardening phone lines. We shall go at 800-823-8255. Tricia in Akron, Ohio. Good morning.
Good morning. Hi. Thank you for taking my call. This is Tricia.
Yes.
The reason for my call is I got a late start in killing my lawn. I still have to do it one more time because of the creeping Charlie that had taken it over. And I understand I might be too late to finish prepping the lawn for grass. I listened to your podcast this morning. You said something about adding compost. Can you buy yards of compost?
You can. As a matter of fact, you know, if you check with someone who supplies topsoil or mulches, a lot of times they'll have a compost that would have be available for you to buy by bulk. Otherwise, you've got to go obviously by the bag. But yeah, most of those places will have some type of a nice compost for you. Out of the Columbus area, they have that Comtill, which is like, I think the Comtill Plus actually is in a kind of a pelletized form, so it makes it easy for you to spread. But, yes, you should be able to find that for you. It's a great top dressing, a great way to add. Are you going to core aerate still?
We already core aerated.
Okay, good.
And I need about 80 yards of dirt on my backyard, which is about 9,000 square feet.
Wow.
Yeah, and so I'm not going to be able to finish this before probably, well, I can finish probably getting the dirt in before winter.
Right.
But I'm not sure what I'm supposed to, how should I wait then until next fall?
No, you know what, I would still move forward and do dormant seeding. So in other words, you're going to go ahead and do the whole process, go all the way through what you need to do, get everything leveled out, graded out, seed bed prepped, put your seed down, and come back and cover that over. Now, you can use straw if you want. If you can find some really clean straw, great. If you can't, you know, they have the insulated, it looks like insulation. It's a paper material that you put out in pellets, you water it, it spreads out, and it covers over the top of the seed and helps to hold the seed in place, covers it, and it helps to cut down a little bit on erosion as well. That's what I would be concerned about over the wintertime would be erosion should we have a lot of rainfall or whatever. So I'd still move forward. I'd still do everything. I'd still seed. I'd put the starter fertilizer down with it, and then I would use some kind of a covering, whether it be straw or the grass seed accelerator, which is a lot more expensive than straw, but you don't put up with weed seeds or anything like that. And then go forward, and then it's, you know, it'll come up for you in the springtime as soon as the temperatures start to warm up. And at that point, you'll take a look and see. Maybe you'll have to do a little bit of seeding here and there. But the problem you're going to get into is that you're going to see weed seeds are going to start to come up in the springtime because it's only natural. That's when they all start to come up. And now you've got this bare ground and you've got grass seeds starting to come up. So what do you do? Scotts has a step one for newly seeded lawns. And it's the only one, I think it's the only one out there on the market, where you can put this down as a pre-emergent herbicide that will stop weed seeds from coming up. It also comes with a starter fertilizer to lightly feed this, the grass seed that's there. And it lasts about 45 to 50 days. So it gives plenty of time for the grass seed to come up and start to grow without, it doesn't stop the seed, but it does stop weed seeds from coming up. So I think I would look at investing in that. And you'll put that down when soil and air temperatures start to get about mid-50s. Apply that. That'll help keep the weed populations down as the grass starts to come up. You may have to do some overseeding here and there for some areas that may be a little bit thinner than usual, and then stick with it from that point forward. So you're going to be dormant seeding is what it boils down to, and then deal with most of all this new growth in the springtime.
Okay, one other question. Mm-hmm. I did have sent away a soil test, mm-hmm. and it recommended putting this, I don't have it in front of me, but, you know, this additional fertilizer, I guess you would call it, onto the soil. Do I do that now and then put the other soil on top of, or the compost on top of it?
You can do it all at the same time, or put it down and then put the compost back on top. That would be fine.
Okay, and should I do any of this slicing? I did the aerating, but should I do the seed slicing after I get the dirt down, or does that not matter with the compost?
Well, I think if you come back with new topsoil and you're grading, you've created a nice seed bed by doing that. And so you can actually could come back in and actually broadcast on top of that. Now, if you're going in areas that's still existing where you've just killed everything off and you're going to kind of go down through that dead material, I would do some slice seeding. But otherwise, you could get by with just broadcast seeding and then covering over top of it with whatever you decide to cover with. But do make sure you do that, because you could get into some erosion control or erosion problems there, and now we definitely don't want that.
Okay. So can I just mow the lawn, the dead lawn down as far as possible, and just leave it and then put the compost on top?
You can. And as a matter of fact, that's a great way, you know, because, you know, you mow it down as low as you can, and then do a little top dressing with the compost, and then you can slice seed right through that. That's perfect. Because that would...
Unfortunately, I need more dirt. It's very depleted.
That's fine. Then you can mow it down low, you know, do your core aerating, then put your topsoil on there. You can put, you know, and the compost can go either way. It can go on first with a little topsoil, or where you get your topsoil, ask them. They may be able to mix the compost in the topsoil for you. You've got a nice combination. There's a lot of folks that can actually mix that together. They'll put a scoop on, kind of, you know, turn it a few times with the bucket, and then give you a little bit of compost in with your topsoil. A lot of places will do that for you.
Okay, great. Well, that's great information. I appreciate you taking my call.
Did you live in Akron a long time? The reason I ask is I used to love coming there for West Point.
Yes, I have lived here practically my whole life.
Okay. West Point, yeah. I thought, was one of the coolest places to go to. What a great grocery store.
Yeah. Unfortunately, even his the one that he started after he had sold, you know, that building, didn't make it.
Ugh.
So, but it was a great place.
I loved always coming to Akron to see them at West Point. Well, good talking to you, and good luck with your project.
Thank you very much.
All right, take care. Quick break. We come back. We'll jump right back into the gardening phone lines at 800-823-8255. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Charlotte Waltz. We're going to talk about black walnuts and harvesting and how to take care of them and how to pick them up. And those sweet gum balls and those crab apples and those acorns that fall down. Charlotte's got all the answers here in the garden with Ron Wilson.
How is your garden growing? Call Ron now at 1-800-823-TALK. You're listening to In the Garden with Ron Wilson.
Welcome back. You're in the Garden with Ron Wilson talking about kitchen scrap gardening. We will talk more about that as we get into the winter because it's a lot of fun. All those things you think you're throwing away, like carrots and things like that, the bottom, the tops of them or whatever, you can regrow all that stuff. And it is fun. So we'll talk more about that as we get into the more into those winter projects. But, you know, real quick, going back to the lawn thing and it's being and being late. Remember that, you know, the important thing when you're putting down grass seed is seed soil contact. Grass seed must get in contact with the soil to germinate and grow. And so, you know, slice or slit seeding, that's what that's all about. You put it in a, in this machine and has blades cutting a groove through existing material, through your existing lawn or dead material that you've sprayed and killed, to deposit those seeds into the soil. So they're in the soil or on the soil, so you've got good seed-soil contact. That's what that's all about. If you create a seed bed by bringing in new topsoil, regrading, whatever, you don't necessarily need to use a slice or slit seeder because you have open soil area. So you can come in, broadcast seed right over top, starter fertilizer. If you've got a little compost and you want to do that as a little bit of a top dressing, don't go too heavy, but you can do a very light top dressing with that as well. But you don't need to use a slice or slit seeder in a situation like that. But remember, in the springtime, you know, now, this late in the season, probably not going to come up. You're going to be dealing with a lot of weeds in the spring. That's why seeding in September and early October is nice because you don't deal with a lot of weeds in the fall, but you do in the spring. And as far as I know, Scotts, and Greenview used to, I'm not sure, but Scotts does have that step one that's for newly seeded lawns, new lawns. And it allows the grass seed to germinate and grow, and it has a starter fertilizer with it. But it stops crabgrass and other weed seeds for about 45 to 50 days, allowing you enough time for the grass seed to start to grow and go from there. You can't put down a regular pre-emergent herbicide on that new grass for a while. You want to, you got to give it a couple months, and then you can come back and put down a regular pre-emergent once you got you feel that you've got most of the grass seed germinated up and growing. You can come back with a regular pre-emergent herbicide, but or reapply that the same Scott Step 1 a second time if necessary. But that's one of the benefits of seeding in September, early October versus doing it in the springtime. But this late in the season, it basically, you really, the window's really closing down at this stage. For cool season seeding, you really are rolling the dice at this point, you know, whether it's going to come up or not. And most of the time it becomes dormant seeding. So anyway, a little tip there for you. To Canton, Ohio we go, right next door. Talk to Shirley. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi. How can we help you?
Well, I have this bishop weed that I just, I can't get rid of. And, you know, my husband, he's like dug it up and then we covered it with like tarp. And it, I mean, no matter what we do, it seems like it still keeps like weeding its way, you know, up.
Who are we going to blame? Who are we going to blame for planting that?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
I like it.
Hear ya.
I like it as a ground cover. It's a really cool ground cover. It's just that when you try to get rid of it, it's pretty tough to get rid of. And it can be very invasive in open natural areas. And as a matter of fact, it's become an invasive plant on their invasive list in many different states. But anyway, the problem you deal with that bishop weed, or sometimes called gout weed, is that it not only comes back from the rhizomes or the runners in the ground, and those are really hard to get all those out when you are digging it up, it also comes back from seed. So if it flowers and sets seed, now you're dealing with both of those things. And that's what we were talking about earlier with that perennial, if finding out, you know, if it's an annual or a perennial, how do we deal with it? So you actually have to deal with it two ways, pre-emergent herbicide and a systemic herbicide like Kills-All, Cleanup, Roundup, and try to go down and kill out as many roots as you can. And again, it's a nuke it, and it takes a good season or two before you finally start to get it under control. And you still see one pop up every now and then, and you just have to jump on it as quickly as you can. But it does take a long time. But you know, the plastic over top, the tarping over top, that all does help and it does work. But again, you'll have one little rhizome, you'll have one little seed that all of a sudden will pop right back up again, and there it is. And then it's back and growing again. So it's persistence. I've even had some folks in a small bed area where this stuff has been growing for years take every plant out that's growing in that bed and actually go in and dig out about 6 inches deep and take all the soil out of there, pitch it, and come back in with new topsoil to try to get rid of it?
Well, you know, one certain spot, like I have a little rock garden,
mm-hmm.
and I've even put, you know, like papers down and everything, and mm-hmm. then little, you know, the little pebbles, and then the big rocks, and it's still.
Oh, yeah.
It's still popping up.
The thing you have to, any crack or crevice that it can get through. So when you're doing that, you know, the better, mm-hmm. the more solid, larger piece of material that you can lay down, plastic or tarp mm-hmm. or whatever, with no mm-hmm. breaks, no seams, no anything, that's your best shot. Mm-hmm. All right, so it has no place to come up besides the very outer edges. But a combination of that, again, like I say, pre-emergent herbicide and the systemics, and it's persistence, and you got to stick with it. But that is that is a really, really tough one to get rid of. And again, it just becomes persistence. Stick with it, stick with it, stick with it, stick with it, and eventually you'll finally stop seeing it stop coming up.
Okay.
Persistence, that's the big one.
I know. All righty, thank you.
All right, good talking to you. And it is, that's a tough one. But again, knowing that, and that's where I was saying earlier, annual, perennial, how does it grow? How do you attack it? And bishop's weed or gout weed, really cool ground cover. I love it. I love the variegated foliage. I love the flower. And in a controlled area, and realizing that once you put it in there, you aren't going to get rid of it, as she was just saying right there, it's tough. In naturalized areas, that stuff can take over. And it's on the invasive list for many states as far as being an invasive plant and not being sold anymore. But again, persistence, that big, you know, it's like thistle and things like that. You've got to stick with it. You've got to nuke it. And I have seen some cases where you go in and literally take all the plants out that are growing in there, bare root them so nothing comes along with them as far as the rhizomes or seeds, and you actually dig it out and get rid of it. Sometimes that's the only way to take care of it. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, if you're on hold, stick with me. We'll come back to you. We've got a special guest coming up next. Charlotte Waltz is going to join us. Going to talk about black walnuts. They're falling right now. Probably been falling for a little while, but really starting to drop now. What do you do with them? How do you harvest them? How do you cure them? How do you get that seed out of that meat out of the middle of those things? That's a tough one. Maybe she's got some tips for us. Talk about hauling stations. You know they're out there to actually take care of that for you. And how do you pick them up? She's got the perfect tool for you. Coming up next, here in the garden with Ron Wilson.
Green thumb or not, Ron can help at 1-800-823-TALK. This is In the Garden with Ron Wilson.
Welcome back. You're in the garden with Ron Wilson. Again, that toll-free number, 800-823-8255. We're talking about black walnuts. Have a black walnut tree in your yard? Maybe it drives you nuts when the black walnuts start to fall, which is typically right now starting to really come down if they haven't already. And again, if you like black walnuts, then you enjoy it when they fall because then you start to get your harvest and have at it. But then it'd be very frustrating because how do you get to them? How do you get that hull off of there, and how do you get to that meat inside, which is very delicious? I love them in baked goods. Very unique flavor. Well, to tell us a little bit more about that is our black walnut expert, Charlotte Waltz. Good morning.
Good morning.
Been a while having you on the show.
Nice to speak with you again. Thank you for having me.
So let's talk about black walnuts. How's the crop look this year?
It is below average this year.
What do you think that's from? Any idea?
That late freeze and frost.
Ah.
Yeah.
So it kind of reduces it. So what will that do to the price of black walnuts? They're already expensive.
I think they're going to go up.
Think it's going to go up?
Yes.
I think you're probably going to be right on that one. So let's take a look at those black walnuts. So they, you know, we always think back when we were kids, and, you know, everybody had a black walnut tree somewhere close around, and those things would fall down. And, of course, trying to get those hulls off of there were horrible, and your fingers turned black. You've done this. I mean, you're an expert at it. Any suggestions for folks that try to do their own hulling at home?
Sure. There's a couple of different ways you could do it. And if you can find an old corn sheller, those work pretty good. So,
really?
They do.
You know, I got to know, that's with the big nubs on the side of that wheel?
Yes.
Yeah, I've got one of those, like an old antique corn. So I could put those in there?
You can.
I had no idea.
Yep. And so that's probably the cleanest way, or maybe the safest way to do it, other than putting them in your yard or perhaps in your driveway and you run over them. It's surprising that those nuts are strong enough that you can run over most of them and not crack them. But it does get that nasty husk off.
But that's a lot of fun.
fun.
And when you're a kid, you get to drive your parents' car the back over top of the walnuts. I mean, that can be a good time. So
right.
If we can't do that, I mean, I know folks that will actually harvest them up and like lay them out on screen tables, mm-hmm. and things like that. How long that takes a while from that hull to start to break down that you can peel that off of there?
It does. It varies with the weather and how soon the walnuts mature, of course, but mm-hmm. make sure you do it in the shade, because if you can at all, the sunshine kind of makes them a stronger flavor, I think.
Really?
Yeah. Now, that just might be my experience. You know, we probably all have to get together and compare notes sometime.
Well, no, that's good. That's what I always like is having folks' personal opinions on things like this, because I never even thought about that. So do it in the shade, not in the sun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like that.
Especially when you're drying them, you know, a place that's dry, sometimes people put them in attics or maybe up in the rafter of your garage or something, so that it's shady but dry. I don't know, in the top of your garage, I guess, could get hot. But, you know, I think a cooler area and shade is best.
Interesting. Talking with Charlotte Waltz this morning about those black walnuts that may be dropping in your yard right now. And what's the best way to get those hulls off so eventually we can try to get into that meat that's on the inside, which is so delicious and great in baking and cooking and things like that. Mm-hmm. You know, and again, I mean, that black walnut, that black whatever that is,
the dye. Stain.
Yeah. My wife actually at one time had me picking up those hulls and soaking them in water so she could use it as a stain. And I guess that's something that's been done for quite some time.
It is. I've heard, it's been surprising to me how many different people have used it for things. So I've heard hunters use it to help their equipment from not rusting. Now, I've never tried that. I don't know for sure.
Never heard that.
And then I actually had one gentleman show up and want to put his camo into the pile of husk we had, you know, his clothes.
Uh-huh. Just for the smell? Just to get have that smell on there.
Yeah,
yeah,
and the color. And then, of course, it's used a lot for natural dyes for yarns. And so that would be the most probably common way of using it.
I think she was putting some kind of pieces of wood in there that we were putting down in the bucket and then bringing it back. Mm-hmm. It worked. I mean, it was really nice.
Yeah.
Except my hands looked like that for a couple of weeks as well, so that wasn't so good. Talking with Charlotte Waltz this morning, and a website for folks to go to, which one do you recommend?
I am going to recommend that they go to black-walnuts.com, and that is a site by Hammond's Products Company, and mm-hmm. they are the largest processor of black walnuts in the world, to my knowledge.
Right.
And they are in Stockton, Missouri.
Mm-hmm. Now, and the reason we're going to give you that website, and we'll talk about another website coming up, because we're going to talk about a very unique tool to help you pick these up and other nuisance fruits and nuts that may fall into your yard, but is that there are actually stations out there that will haul your black walnuts for you.
Yes, that is. I mean, if you have a local station, that would be wonderful to go to them and let them just take that husk right off for you. It's amazing how clean the walnut comes out of their machines.
And somebody said earlier, said, well, I only get a bushel of walnuts and all. Is there a minimal amount when you go to these hauling stations?
No, there's no minimum that I know of.
Okay, mm-hmm. So they're going to charge you a small fee to run them through their hauler.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have extras, you can actually sell your black walnuts at those stations as well.
That's right. You sure can. In fact, I think that's a wonderful activity for a person to do at least once in your lifetime with your family. So clean your yard up, go to the Walnut Station, meet other folks there too that you can, you know, talk with, and then see it in action, how it works.
I think, as a matter of fact, I think you are correct there. What a great family thing to do, to see how they do that. And, of course, you're going to meet some interesting people when you go as well. That would be black-walnuts.com, correct?
That's correct, yes.
And be sure and check that out. And that'll give you, as a matter of fact, I had printed that out the other day, Hammond's Black Hauling and Buying Locations. And they do that for all of the – there's several states in here that they have the hauling stations in there, so you can – key in your state, and then they'll come up. And I had put in Ohio and for our area, and boy, there's like 15 or so different hauling stations, which I didn't realize were around our area.
That's great. You know, they will pay you for those nuts, too. And so a 5-gallon bucket full of black walnuts will bring you anywhere from $1 to $1.60, somewhere in there. I've heard rumors that the price might be 16 cents a pound this year.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that adds up over time. And even though it's not a lot of return for it, that goes to a good use. And you might need the cash. You know, this is a particular year where it might be really great to have a little extra cash.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. All right. We're talking with Charlotte Waltz, talking about black walnuts and how you get those darn hulls off of there so you can get that great meat that's on the inside. So we've kind of walked through that. Now we've let you know that there are hauling and buying locations that are out there in your state. Go to the website. It's black-walnuts.com. We're going to take a break. We come back. So what's the best way to pick those things up, including acorns that may be falling in your yard right now, crab apples, sweet gum balls that are going to be falling later? I've got a tool, and so does Charlotte, that's going to be perfect for you. We're going to put her on hold. We're going to come back and find out what that is here in the garden with Ron Wilson.
Landscaping made easier with your personal yard boy. He's in the garden, and he's Ron Wilson.
Welcome back. You're in the garden with Ron Wilson. Special guest this morning, Charlotte Waltz, talking about those black walnuts. And, of course, the website, black-walnuts.com, if you want to find out more about the hauling stations. And very interested to go and see how they do that. If you have black walnuts, you can take yours and they'll haul them for you. There's a fee for it, but it's sometimes easier than going through all the methods. Although, still driving them over with the car, it can be a lot of fun. But can be dangerous, too. So be careful. Anyway, talking with Charlotte, you know, I get, before we go talk about this unique tool, I get updates from you every now and then. How did I get onto that? Where do I go to get your, you know, like you sent me the thing about, what you send to everybody that's on your...
Oh, an email list?
The email list, yeah.
Mostly those are folks that have bought the tool, Nut Wizard tool.
Got it.
But if you guys want to be on the list, I'm happy to add anyone to the list. Just send me an email at charlotte@seeds or nutwizard.com.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. And then then they can do that. Because when I read through these, I mean, it's great because you explain everything in there, and it's great information. So I just want to make sure that folks could maybe sign up for that as well. Charlotte Waltz, and we're talking about those black walnuts. So... and one last thing I forgot to mention. You, in that last newsletter I got from you about harvesting black walnuts, you brought up a great point. Put them in something that, like a plastic bucket or dog food, empty bags, because they're plastic lined. Because if you put them in a cloth bag or something, that can leak through and stain whatever you put them in. So,
I mean, you're gonna have that black stain on you. And it is really hard to get out of clothing or off your hands. It is.
All right. Now, you have all the experience. How do you get it off your hands and your clothing?
Well, you really need some good gloves. And so the only thing, I mean, there are some really strong cleaners that you can use.
Mm-hmm.
But now, this is one of those things we all should compare notes about.
That's all right.
The one thing that happened, now my hands, I mean, I did it for weeks at a time, and so I had a really heavy stain, and I cleaned out the inside of a pumpkin, and that stain came off. Now, I don't know if that
was a
fluke. I'm not kidding. I don't know if it was a fluke, but it worked that time. And but, you know, the best thing to do is get it off of your hands as soon as you can.
Mm-hmm.
And the other problem with the chemicals in the black walnut stain is that if you are out in the sun, sometimes it will give you a sunburn faster than normal.
Really?
So, yeah, it really does, yes. I had a lady that worked for me 1 year, and she decided not to wear a long-sleeve shirt on the day that we were running the walnuts. And she got the stain on her, and at first she had kind of a rash reaction, and then the sunshine just made it worse.
Interesting. Yeah. So protect yourself, basically. Long sleeves, wear the gloves. Don't do it just by bare hands and whatever.
Yeah, not if you're going to do bunches and bunches. I mean, a few, yeah, sure.
Right. Yeah, just one tree in your backyard is one thing. But if you're harvesting a whole bunch, protect yourself while you're doing it.
Absolutely.
Talking with Charlotte Waltz, of course, and it's always fun talking with her about harvesting and hauling black walnuts. How do you do all of that? But, you know, so now the next question comes up. So I've got the walnut tree, or I've got the oak tree in the backyard, or the crab apples are falling, or sweet gum, which happens to be our tree of the week this week.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, sweet gum balls start to fall down, and folks hate the sweet gum balls. Trying to get them picked up can be crazy, but you have the tool that makes it so much easier for everybody to pick those up. Tell me about it.
Well, it is just a wonderful tool. I remember when we first found out about it, I just about cried with joy. But anyway, the tool is called a Nut Wizard, and it is made, it kind of looks like a bingo basket.
Yeah.
So it's made out of really strong and flexible wires that has a long handle. You roll it on the ground. You let it do the work. And so you're guiding it and running, you know, you roll right over the nuts like a sweet gum ball, and the wires expand open. And as the basket makes the rotation, the nut or the sweet gum ball gets inside there, and the wires kind of ping back together again. And then it comes with a little gadget you can put on a bucket or a trash can that will actually expand the wires back open so that what you've picked up will fall out. Now, if you've got a lot of those sweet gum balls, you know they like to cling together because they're so prickly all over.
Mm-hmm.
And so you do want to empty the tool before it gets full, or else they'll all be clung together in there and you have to pick them out by hand.
Good point.
Yeah.
Good point.
It saves so much bending over and picking up, and so it's faster. And when I use the tool, I just feel like I can work longer. You know, I enjoy it. The weather's usually nice, mm-hmm. and it just helps out so much.
I have fun. You know, and of course, you and I have talked, because I've had a Nut Wizard for years, but and I've always, I take them to garden talks with me. I wind up giving them away all the time. But they're fun because, you know, when you get out there, and I want you to talk about the different sizes, but it can become kind of a, it's just fun because you get the knack of how to roll that thing to pick those up just right. It's not hard work. You're just rolling it back and forth. It really does a nice job. And that expander that you put on the side of the bucket, you just flip that thing up there, put it on the expander. They drop into the bucket. You turn around and you continue to harvest. And you can do this with just about anything from small acorns up to larger crab apples and the walnuts as well. But the key here, of course, there are different sizes of Nut Wizards.
There are. So the smaller sizes, you know, the wires are closer together. So that's why it's able to pick up smaller nuts. And then as the tool gets bigger, the wires get farther apart. You can sometimes use a smaller tool for even bigger things. So like the small size would still pick up a walnut or an apple, just fewer of them at a time.
Right.
So you can, but the smallest size will pick up something like a pin oak or a scarlet oak. And then, or a pistol brass.
I was going to say, because I saw that mini Nut Wizard for folks that go out and like to shoot, mm-hmm. it'll actually, you know, to pick up your shells. It's a great way to pick up shells rather than trying to go through the grass or whatever and try to pick those things back up again.
Exactly, yes. The largest size now is actually can pick up a chestnut burr or like a flared out pine cone. So that's kind of cool, too.
Wow. And that, and there's going to be a pain too with the pine cones. So again, you've got the large, the medium, the small, the extra small, the mini, for all different types of projects. And like Charlotte said, even the smaller ones will pick up the larger items. It's just you can only get a few in that basket versus having the larger ones. So if folks are interested to learn more about the Nut Wizard, and again, I've talked about Nut Wizards forever, and I
thank you.
I think they're great. Like I said, I use it myself. Great website. It's pretty simple.
Yep, it's nutwizard.com. That's it.
You can't get much more simple than that. Nutwizard.com, and you can learn more about it. And, of course, you can order them on there as well.
Yes.
So check it out. Again, it's nutwizard.com. And, again, the different sizes that are available for you, it's I think when the first time I ever used a Nut Wizard, there was probably only one or two sizes at that point. And now look where you've taken this thing.
Yeah. Well, the inventor is actually in Georgia, Cecil Holt. And he had a dream. He says that he could see this tool rolling on the ground to pick up pecans. And so that's where he started at. I think it took him about 7 years to develop the tool. And he is a retired bakery owner, so he was using his own pecans in his bakery and needed something to pick up nuts with.
Now, did he call them pecans or pecans?
You know what? That's a good question.
It doesn't matter. You know,
when I talk to folks in the South, it can come out all kinds of different ways, you know.
No doubt about it. Talking with Charlotte Waltz this morning about black walnuts. And again, if you're interested, the hauling stations, find out where they may be in your state. It's black-walnuts.com. And you can learn more about all of that. And it's Hammond's Black Walnuts. And it's a great website, so be sure and check that out. And, of course, if you've got those nuisance things that are falling in your yard, crab apples, acorns, walnuts, sweet gum balls, things like that, check out the Nut Wizard. It saves you a lot of time. They really do work. I've been using one for a long, long, long time, and I highly recommend them. They're absolutely wonderful. Charlotte Waltz, always a pleasure talking with you. You're such a pleasant person to talk with, and we just love the Nut Wizard, and of course, love those black walnuts, especially in a cake.
Yes, or chocolate fudge.
Well, there you go, and chocolate fudge. Either one will work fine for me. Hey, always a pleasure. Have a great fall. We will talk to you next year.
Pleasure to talk to you, too. Take care, everyone. Right.
Take care. Bye-bye. Charlotte Waltz, and again, it's black-walnuts.com to learn about the hauling stations. And I think a lot of folks, and again, if you have just a few in your backyard, you're going to take care of that yourself. But if you have three or four bucketfuls, it may be worth traveling to it. And you get to see how they do it and learn more about it. If you have a whole bunch of them, you can actually see what they're selling them for. You can sell them there as well. And, of course, the other utensil is called the Nut Wizard. Love that thing. I've had those for years, and I do. I wind up taking them to a garden talk or whatever. Next thing you know, I gave my Nut Wizard away, and I have to go get another one. That's all right. Spreading the good word. That's what it's all about. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We come back, we'll open the phone lines back up for you. It's 800-823-8255. Don't, again, forget our website. It's ronwilsononline.com. Lots of great recipes on there from Rita this week. Squash with sausage. And I still like the one from last week, fresh apple cake. You're going to love that one, too. Check it all out at ronwilsononline.com. You're in the garden with Ron Wilson.
Landscaping made easier with your personal yard boy. He's in the garden, and he's Ron Wilson.
Our toll-free number, same as it is every Saturday morning, it's 800-823-8255. Good morning. I am Ron Wilson, your personal yard boy, talking about yarding. What is it? The 10th of October. Can you believe that already? It's dry.
No.
Is it dry in your... I can't either. Moving right on through. You know what we're going to talk about next, Dan? We're going to talk about turkey. Turkey dinners. I mean, that happens so fast.
Yum.
We'll be talking about... You know what? It's going to be like this. It's going to be... We're going to say, what's your favorite Halloween candy? And then it's going to be like snap, and it's going to be what's your favorite food to go along with the turkey. Then it's going to be snap, what are you going to get for Christmas? And then snap, we'll be back in the springtime. Why does it do that? It just gets
Don't forget about New Year's in there.
Well, that just kind of all blends together.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, it's Groundhog Day, it's spring, and we're back at it again.
My birthday in March.
Your birthday in March. Of course, don't forget Dr. Z's. He reminded me 13 times this week that it's coming up on the 21st of October.
What, he'll finally be 18?
19.
19, okay.
19. He's 19. 21st of October. Yeah, we remember Dr. Z. 21st of October.
I'm going to compliment him. He's a good kid.
He's a good kid.
He's got it on tape now that I said something nice.
800-823-8255. Talking about yarding. Don't forget our website. What is it? It's ronwilsononline.com. Our tree of the week this week, which I don't know what happened to it. It disappeared. Was one of Joe Boggs' posts. We went with Joe's pick, sweet gum. What a great tree for spectacular fall color. Great tree grows about anywhere. Takes moist soils. Takes dry soils. Great branching habit. Love the bark. Love the shape of the leaves. That star shape. Love the fall colors. Multitude of colors. The biggest drawback to sweet gum, of course, and it used to be one of our most popular trees that we would sell for planting for a large shade tree, are the sweet gum balls. No doubt about it. You know, over time, as they mature, next thing you know, you got sweet gum balls dropping everywhere in late fall, winter, and early spring. And, of course, we just talked about the nut wizard, which is a great way to pick them up. But if you have a mulched area underneath the tree, they typically fall into mulched area, and you don't have to worry about it. Leave them sit there. But that has really stopped a lot of folks from growing them or planting them in their yard. But there are some somewhat seedless or fruitless varieties. Rotundifolia, I believe it is a rounded leaf one, which is fruitless. There is one called Happy Days, which is less fruit. There's a little bit of fruit on it, not like a regular sweet gum, but it can set some fruit, but not the issues like the regular. And it's called Happy Days, and it's available out there at most of your nurseries and garden centers. Wonderful selection. And then there's a real narrow one called Slender Silhouette, which only gets about 4 or 5 feet in diameter straight up. Now, it will get the sweet gum balls, but think about this. If you have a nice 6-foot mulch bed underneath it, the sweet gum balls fall right down into the bed, and you don't have to worry about it. And it's a really cool tree, great fall color. You still get the same leaf and the whole nine yards. But it's called Slender Silhouette, so keep that one in mind as well. But sweet gum is our tree of the week this week, our plant of the week this week, because I just love the fall color, way underused. And, of course, the Nut Wizard will help you pick up those sweet gum balls or whatever. And you know what? If you have a vegetable garden, sweet gum balls, rabbits don't like hopping through sweet gum balls. You can use it as a mulch. And rabbits will stay away because they don't like stepping on that. I don't like stepping on them either. But it does work as a natural repellent for rabbits around your vegetables. So if you have a friend that has sweet gum balls, collect them up and use them for that. To Lexington we go. Steve, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Ron. How you doing?
Good, sir. How about yourself?
Oh, not so bad. Good. Hey, I had a question here. Mm-hmm. We had just moved down to the Lexington area into a new home. Mm-hmm. And we had found while I was mowing the lawn here that there is actually, it's a two-tiered patio in the rear of our home. Now, what we're wanting to do is to try and get a flower bed kind of around all of that. The problem with it is, we have a whole lot of invasive stuff, honeysuckle and everything else like that, that we've already cut out and we've treated with Roundup over on the pad of the patio. I was wondering, does any of that stuff, will that leak into? And what's kind of like the half-life of that if I were to plant a bed around it?
With the Roundup, kills all, cleanup, any of those products like that? When they hit the soil... when they hit mulch, whatever it may be, it locks it up right away. and then microbes start to eat at it and take it away. So if you read the label, what they'll tell you is they'll always say wait about 7 to 10 days before you plant new grass seed or whatever it may be, basically only to give the product time to kill the weeds or grass or vegetation that you put it on. Now, in this case, you put it on the open stumps of the invasive material that you've cut out. And again, it's locked up, not an issue. As a matter of fact, if you cut all that stuff down, you painted it, I wouldn't hesitate to come back the following week and start to plant in there if you can get in there and actually do that. So, you know, there's no waiting period. You're in. You're good to go.
Okay. And then just a follow-up question here, because there's a whole bunch of crabgrass and everything around that area here, but there's also a bunch of – it's been in disrepair for at least a decade now.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a whole bunch of limestone and brick and everything else like that here in the substrate that we've been trying to get out with shovels. Would I be okay to go in there with a rototiller to go ahead and just kind of clear it all out and we can get the clumps of weeds and everything else like that? Or
you know,
would you recommend just some backbreaking labor?
Well, maybe a little bit of both. Even with a tiller, maybe a little bit tough if you've got a lot of debris and all in the soil. But the more you can get out of the soil, the better off you're going to be, obviously. To get that that debris out of there as best you can, and then if you want to till, you can take it from that point. But I would still try to get as much out. And then, you know, and you might start looking at some raised beds, and you may be bringing in topsoil on top of that after you get as much debris out as you can to create an even nicer planting area on top of it as well. I would probably say, you know, still I'd do a little bit of back work just to get as much of the debris out of there as you can, and then come back and soil them in and maybe bring in a little topsoil and then take it from there.
Okay.
All right.
Understood.
Hey, good
Thank
luck. Love Lexington. Great city.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Take care. Good talking to you. And it is a great city, by the way. And again, soil amendment. I was talking about that earlier today. Anytime you get a chance to get out and add organic matter back to your soil, do it. Pine soil conditioner, compost, manures, compost out of your own compost bin, whatever it may be. Anytime you can add a little bit back to the soils when you're planting, tilling, top dressing, whatever it may be, always do that. Your plants and your soil and the microbes and the earthworms and all the things that go on in that soil will absolutely love you for it. Patty in Ohio, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
My question is about King of the Garden pole lima beans.
Okay.
They're not making anything. I had a couple of really promising pickings when I first started, when they first started to produce,
mm-hmm.
and then nothing. And they've gotten very, very bushy. Now, when I started out the year, I did fertilize when I planted with triple 19 fertilizer,
mm-hmm.
and also manure on the garden.
Right.
They're planted about 5 to 6 feet apart. The leaves look fabulous. There's no, they look have good green color. There's lots of blooms. Nothing.
But so you're getting lots of flowers, but you're not getting any set.
Right.
And you did earlier.
Yes.
Interesting. I would have said if you had all foliage and no flowers that maybe that sometimes we get into a situation where it has been over-fertilized, and the next thing you know, they're concentrating on growing and not concentrating on flowering. And that does happen sometimes.
I considered that.
Yeah, but if you're getting the flowers and no bean, I guess my next question would be, do you see anything buzzing around them as far as pollinators?
Yeah, yes, lots of pollinators.
So you got lots of pollinators.
And I've got my flowers planted right in among them so that bring them there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I've got pole green beans.
Right.
And I've got like 9 plants of those planted the same way, about 5 foot apart. I get about a half a bushel every week. I mean, they're just...
Still doing well for you, yeah.
Crazy.
But just not the lima beans.
Right.
You know what I was going to say? I don't like lima beans anyway, so it doesn't matter to me.
Oh, but I do.
That's never been a favorite of mine.
That leaves more for me.
Yeah. But I'm just...
My son suggested I sent some of the plant foliage into a lab to see if what...
Well, that's not good. You know, that I don't know that there's an issue there, because here's the thing. Everything you described to me so far is great. You've got great-looking plants. You fed early on, so it's not overfeeding. They're flowering, so you see lots of flowers, and you have lots of pollinators. So, you know, why they're not setting beans at this stage, I am drawing a complete blank why the lima beans would not be doing that. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to have to think about it a little bit. If I can come up with an answer for you, to keep listening to the show, I'll try to come up, and maybe somebody else would have an answer for us as well. But the sampling going to you can do that if you want, but you got everything going for you that's right so far. It's just not getting any beans to set, and I don't know. I'm going to have to think about it. I'm not sure I can come up with an answer, but we'll throw it out there. Maybe some of our listeners will have an answer for you as well. If they do start to produce for you before the season's over, let me know. But let me do some.
Yeah, I'm thinking that perhaps it was because of the horribly hot,
the warmer weather,
dry weather.
Yeah, that could. I mean, you have to start looking at environmental issues, especially if everything else looks right. As far as just not setting, and that's the only other answer that I agree with you that I would have. Mm-hmm. But let me think about it. We'll see if we can toss it out there, see if we can come up with another answer for you. Why those lima beans? Everything looks good, growing well, lots of flowers, no set, doing it earlier. Was it just the heat? Have you experienced that before? Let us know. 800-823-8255 here in the garden with Ron Wilson.
Help for the do-it-yourself gardener at 1-800-823-TALK. You're in the garden with Ron Wilson.
Welcome back. You're in the garden with Ron Wilson. Again, that toll-free number, 800-823-8255, talking about yarding. It's always good to have folks that I know that's in the gardening business. Got a quick text from someone said, high temperatures will kill it every time on those pollination of the lima bean. And also, too dry or too wet can cause an issue. Obviously, the over-fertilization, but flowering in the plant looks good, not the issue there, because we were getting the flower. Lack of pollinators also could be an issue, but high temperatures like tomatoes, above 40, 85 degrees, have a hard time setting, and being too wet or too dry could be an issue on the lima beans as well. So I'll go with the temperatures above 85, and could be the main reason there. But that's why I say it's always fun. You know, anytime, I always encourage our listeners, anytime you have a tip or you've had the same success or share the same experiences, always feel free to give us a call and share your tips. It's always a great thing. Charlotte Waltz talking about something that was goofy about getting the stain off of her hand, walnut stains. It worked for her. Said, it's my own thing. Well, that's good. That's a pretty cool tip. Don't be afraid to share those. It's always fun to hear what other folks are doing to be successful. So always don't hesitate to call us and let us know. We love talking to you. Amy and Mason, good morning.
Good morning. How are you today, Ron?
I'm great. And you?
Just fine.
Good.
So I have a sad story.
Uh-oh.
That I went to Natorps and I bought a lovely assortment of cone flowers. And I planted them in my butterfly garden. And 3 days later, some varmint from out there in the yard just ate all the flower petals. So I have these beautiful stalks, you know, like the stems are sitting there. They look pretty healthy. And I'm just curious, are they going to die over the winter? Will they come back? And do you have any suggestions?
The cone flower, did they eat the foliage too or just the flower off the top?
Good point. They did eat the leaves as well. So it's just like little sticks sticking out of the ground right now.
You know, there's a real good chance you may still get a couple leaves that'll pop back out. But the thing to remember is, of course, it is a perennial and they do come back from the root system. And you know, in another few weeks, those are all going to be browning back anyway. So we would have liked to have kept the green foliage on there to replenish the energy in the root system as long as we can. But I'm going to guess, I would say my first guess is, even though they ate the foliage back down, I would still guess they're going to come back from the root system. So if I went through right now and they were looking really bad and I just cut everything back to the ground and cleaned it up, which a lot of people are doing, in their perennial gardens because they're starting to some gardens starting to look a little rough. You know, you're good to go. I mean, they're set. The energy is in the root system. You know, you're good to go. So I don't think there's going to be a problem. Of course, if they don't come back up, you can always let Nate Torps know, and they'll take care of that for you. But I think you're going to be good to go. I think you'd be surprised that those will come back up for you.
All right. All right. What about the best suggestion on maybe not having these visitors back in the spring?
Good question. You know, your repellents that you put out there that are available, liquid fence, deer scram, all of those, rabbit scram, they are guaranteed to work. Now, if critters are hungry, they're going to come in there and feed no matter what. But the kicker is that you use them and you use them on a regular basis, so you start to train them to stay out of your yard and go to somebody else's. And you don't just do it around those particular plants. You do it out on the outer perimeter of your lawn to kind of keep heading them on to the next-door neighbor. I mean, that's the way it works. And, you know, you can try those. You know, again, if you want to spray, liquid fence, repels all, both do a great job. If you want granular, look at deer scram, rabbit scram, and you can alternate back and forth. But, again, it's doing it consistently to keep them moving on, you know, and stay out of your yard. And a lot of times once those get established and they come through and that plant, had that plant been larger, you know, it's a good chance they could have come through and browsed a little bit, got a little moisture out of it, which is what they're looking for right now, a little moisture out of it, and moved on. And you may not have even noticed very much of the damage. So, again, as they get established, you probably won't notice as much of it, as much of the browse as you do right now when they're small.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Ron.
Yeah, oh, you're welcome. Good talking to you. Now, we're running out of time. Coming up next, we're going to – guess what? Gary Sullivan is out of town. So Buggy Joe Boggs, she said, Joe, you want to take the extra time with Gary Sullivan? You know what Joe said? Absolutely. Joe would never turn down the time to take extra time and talk to us. We got about a minute to go for the break, so I'm not going to take any more calls today. I apologize for not getting to everybody that's on hold. Feel free to email us. Go to our website. It's ronwilsononline.com, and I will try to get back to you as quickly as I can, I promise. Try to get through this as fast as I can. Can't answer all of them all the time, but I try to take as many as I can and get back to you. So, again, it's ronwilsononline.com. One last thing before we take a break. It is dry. You've heard me say this morning. It is dry. Please make sure you're watering, especially the evergreens, larger trees and shrubs. Water, water, water. Very, very important. And if you're planting, which you should be, trees this winter, this fall, or if you have smaller trees, get the deer guards on them. I've already gotten a lot of reports of bucks starting to rub on trees in your yards and gardens. Protect your tree trunks with deer guards. Don't let them ruin your trees. Please get on it today, tomorrow, Sunday. Don't wait. Coming up next, Buggy Joe Boggs here in the garden with Ron Wilson.
Got gardening questions? Ron has the answers at 1-800-823-TALK. You're in the garden with Ron Wilson.
Welcome back. You're in the garden with Ron Wilson, and it is time for an extended edition of the pride and the joy of the Ohio State University Extension and OSU Department of Entomology. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Buggy Joe Boggs Report with Mr. Joe Boggs.
Good morning. My goodness, what a fanfare welcome.
You're not going to believe this, but as we look out our window right now, it is actually sprinkling.
No, I that's what I said when Dan first called me there. It's like, wow, I can't believe it.
I can't believe it either.
I mean, I saw a little bit of some droplets on the window a little while ago, and I was thinking, no, that's my imagination, you know.
Or the irrigation system was on.
Well, it's because I've kind of forgotten what rain looks like, you know, so I wasn't, I mean, it's a surprise. It didn't scare me. You know, what's this moisture coming down?
What is all this stuff?
What is this stuff?
Hey.
And then Oh, go ahead.
No, yeah. I was going to say, I was just ready to make a switch already to another topic.
Well, first, man, our hearts go out to our Louisiana listeners, right?
Woo! Especially in Lake Charles. My gosh. I mean, that was 6 weeks ago and getting hit again.
I've never been there, but I have heard from numerous people, not just those who live there. I mean, that's a beautiful part of Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right, you know, having been hit twice now. So again, you know, that's something to keep in mind with as we're thankful for being healthy and thankful for a little rain.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
A little
rain. Not 12 or 14 inches worth.
Yeah, my goodness.
Yeah. And 100 mile an hour winds that came along with it.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it just, this has been a pretty active season. I mean, they've hit, you know, it's Delta now. Of course, did you do the same thing? I mean, every time I heard him say Delta, I kept thinking, you know, Delta Dawn. I just, the words would come in.
What's those flowers you have on?
Exactly.
Would it be a painted rose? All right. Yeah, I can sing that one.
Was
that Tanya's first big hit?
You know, I don't know. That's a good question.
Could have been. I don't know.
It could have been.
No, as I said, Tanya, not Tanya.
Now I've put a, you know, I've put.
There it is. All righty then.
I think that's our garden song right there. Now we put the music earworm in everyone's head.
Now I'll be singing that song. Thanks a lot, Joe. Really appreciate that one.
Yeah,
they can thank
Joe.
Me for it.
Yeah, and thanks, Danny, for playing it. Yeah, really.
Yeah, Danny, that's it. I wasn't sure until I heard it.
So big news coming out of Virginia yesterday. Are you ready for this? You may have seen this. I don't know. Officials issue warning after venomous hairy caterpillars spotted in Virginia.
Whoa. I mean, was this? No, I didn't. I missed this. I missed it totally.
A puss caterpillar.
Well, now, that's not new.
I know. I'm just saying this is a headline yesterday.
Well, yeah. Now, the reason why I was pausing and you know, being concerned and all that was that, you know, in South America, South and Central America, there are some very serious venomous caterpillars. I mean, caterpillars that can kill you, believe it, you know, which is hard to imagine. You know, we don't generally tend to think of these as being that bad. So, you know, to have a headline that something is now found, you see where I'm heading. It's like, uh-oh, is that one of the non-natives? But, yeah, I mean, it's not new, but are they seeing high populations then?
I guess two people have been. They said they consider it to be the most poisonous in the United States.
I don't know. Well,
I'm sorry
for laughing. That was inappropriate laughing. But the reason why I did was because, you know, people rate, you know, a yellow jacket and hornet and, you know, other wasp stings. And I always say, well, no, it depends on the one that got you.
That's true.
Right?
That's true.
It's true.
You know what
I mean?
you're right. Well, I guess it does, this particular one. Intense pain, itchy rash, nausea, vomiting sometimes from it. And as some lady, I guess, in Richmond had a run-in with one. I guess it got on her leg, outside of her calf, and
said
it was horrible. Said it was felt like a second or third degree burn, aching, my bones hurt, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, it stirred up enough to make a headline there whatever. And they refer to it as a Cousin It-like critter, which Cousin It's one of my favorite characters out there.
It is true. And, you know, I did not know this. Who played Cousin It?
I don't know. Who played Cousin It?
You know, I don't know either.
Why would you ask me that?
Well, I don't know. It's so funny because you know, Adam's Family. Let's face it.
That was my favorite.
One of my all-time favorites.
Oh, it's my favorite over the Munsters. I mean, the Munsters were okay, but the Adam's Family was a classic. That was
I found it. Felix Silla.
Felix Silla played
Cousin
Silla.
Yeah, Felix.
How do you spell the last name?
S-I-L-L-A.
Wow, that's pretty interesting because it sounds very close. You know, cilia means like it has a connection to hair.
That's
really interesting. It makes you wonder, doesn't it? Yeah, the thought for the day.
You know, I used to draw a cartoon character based on Cousin It, but it had long legs and arms and sunglasses. And I still have pictures of this thing that I used to put. And I still have copies of things that I drew, and I always have a sign in his hand. It was always the sign would say something unusual, like "Save the city, eat a starling," or something like that. I don't.
Oh my gosh! I never knew you were a cartoonist.
Yeah, and that was one of my favorite characters. Even my wife said, "Yep." I still remember you used to draw those all the time. Well, I dreamed that thing was standing at the foot of my bed one time.
Oh, my goodness.
I was like, what are you doing here? What is going on here? Yeah, I was like, whoa. Yeah.
You jumped up and closed your drawing book.
Yeah, I said, oh, what's like it came out of the book. It's after me.
Oh, my gosh.
What's that have to do with? I have no idea. What it has to do with bugs or diseases?
It is interesting. You know, last week we touched on it a little bit. You know, we have the triple galls and oak dropping off onto the ground, and now the Cousin It caterpillars.
Cousin It-like.
That's right. I should.
It-like.
All the older listeners, of course, obviously you can watch the Addams Family, you know, by owning a lot of different networks that, you know, rerun older things. But of course, you and I grew up on this. But Cousin It-like caterpillars. Now, I did do a posting, and we sort of brushed on it because of the monkey slug, another favorite.
One of my favorites.
Yeah. So I did a posting on stinging caterpillars. Right. So if you go to BYGL, Buckeye Yard and Garden Line, you can see a number of different ones. I don't have pictures of this one.
Well, that was kind of the softball I was throwing at you, is the fact that you just posted this recently.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I thought about bringing this up today. Because I was going to also talk about woolly bears a little bit, you know.
Good. You can do that after we take the break.
There you go. And I'll be consulting with Cousin It while we're on the break.
By the way, you know who played the Thing in the Addams Family?
Well, I do know that one. That was Lurch.
Yeah, he did that. He did that as well.
I actually just found that.
You rang. You want to dance, Lurch? All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue on with Buggy Joe Boggs here in the garden with Ron Wilson.
Landscaping made easier with your personal yard boy. He's in the garden, and he's Ron Wilson.
Welcome back. You're in the garden with Ron Wilson, and of course that can only mean it's creepy and it's goofy, mysterious and kooky and ooky and all that. It's the Buggy Joe Boggs Report number 2 with Mr. Joe Boggs. By the way,
you rang.
Guess if Lurch was on camera and Thing was on camera also, how did he play Thing?
Well, the actor had extremely long arms. I have that on good.
There was a second Thing. His name was Jack something, and he played.
Oh, really?
He played Thing when Lurch was on camera.
You know, that's interesting because, of course, also, and now correct me if I'm wrong
thing
about this.
Thing T Thing.
Wasn't most of that in black and white?
Yes.
Maybe all of it. But, you know, that's before we had so much in the way of the trick photography. We called it back then. You know, it's interesting because, of course, now it's just digitally, you know, changed. But you think of the number of different shows and movies where the same actor played two different roles and, you know, they were talking to each other and so on. Mm-hmm. And that was very difficult to do back then, obviously, because it was all, you know, it was all analog. It was all film. So that makes good sense that they would have to have a stand-in, a hand-in.
A hand-in.
What
about the Patty Duke show?
Well, there you go. Yeah.
With the twins.
And
all right, let's get on. Stop. We're getting way too into this. What were we talking about before we took the break here? Because we were going to learn more about it when we came back.
Well, we're going to talk about woolly bears.
Woolly bears.
Woolly bears. Oh, my goodness. You know, and they're really.
It is fun talking about it. So maybe we'll just dedicate. Maybe the Thanksgiving special. We'll just talk about old TV shows.
Oh, that's it. That is exactly right.
That could be fun.
I like it.
We won't talk about gardening or bugs. We'll just talk about old TV shows.
And you're going to have to get one of your cartoons up. I mean, you're going to have to get it posted.
Yeah.
Listen.
We'll see.
Oh, you know, I don't even know where I was going with that.
Woolly bears. I don't know. Woolly bears.
Well, they're starting to march about.
Yes.
And of course, now.
Oh, by the way, stink bugs. You were talking about stink bugs last week.
Yeah.
My mom texted me this week. She said they were all over.
Yeah.
Her the side of her house said they were everywhere. She'd never seen so many. And I look out. I can't. We have one of those screen windows that go up and down in the screen door. I couldn't get it to go up. It was stuck. I looked up. There were three of them blocking this thing from rolling up. So here we go.
They had their little legs down, holding it down.
No. Anyway, woolly bears.
Well, and of course we did. We gave warning. We told everyone, you know, that it was at the perfect time to. So woolly bears, you know, now they have, you know, prickly looking hairs. It looks like they could really stab you. So there is kind of a good transition from, you know, from the stinging caterpillars, but woolly bear caterpillars, those bristles aren't venomous. You know, they're not, but they are designed for protection. So let's kind of delve into that a little bit. So when you see caterpillars that have a lot of bristles or hairs, it's just best to stay away from them. It's best just not to handle them unless you know what they are. And I don't want folks to go out there and say, well, Joe Boggs said, you know, that the woolly bears aren't stinging caterpillars. However, those are still defense bristles, so they can break off. And some people have some pretty severe reactions to that. We also talked about that when we talked about stinging caterpillars, that, you know, there are a range of other caterpillars that that are armed, but the defense is a little different. The idea being that if a predator comes in and tries to eat them, that these bristles or hairs break off and can penetrate, you know, the mouth of a bird or, you know, the skin of a person trying to handle them. So it's still best to stay away from them. I apparently am not very sensitive to these caterpillars. I mean, they complain to me, and I just say, well, I don't want to hear it, right? I'm just not sensitive to them. That's supposed to be a joke there.
I'm laughing.
Yeah, there's a thing. Yeah, that's how it is in this COVID time, right? You know, you can't see people, so you don't know if they're laughing or crying.
Well, you see their eyes. You look, if they're squinting, they're not, you know, if they're going, what is he talking? Or if they're laughing, you have no idea.
Yeah, you have no idea. The squinting, you're right. The squinting could be they're wondering, you know, what is wrong?
Yeah.
You know, or it could be they're laughing. But with woolly bears, we also then have the folklore, you know, that they predict the winter. Now, let's talk about that, because that's always a lot of fun to talk about. And, you know
you really
actually
ruined this for a lot of people when you first brought this up 15 years ago.
So you're saying I should just stop talking?
I mean,
you
kind of ruined it for everybody, because, you know, they have festivals for the woolly bear festivals. And
that's true. That is true.
Go ahead. Tell the truth.
All right. Well, you could say, well, who said, you know, consider the source. Let's start there.
There you go.
You know, what the heck? He's not going to ruin our festival. But the idea being, and I grew up with this, man, my grandfather was a pretty deep believer with, you know, with woolly bears. And so you have, you know, black and kind of reddish brown and black. Now there's one woolly bear, the giant leopard moth caterpillar, is totally black. People see that and they just head south.
Yeah, really, I'm out of here.
I mean, I'm done.
Horrible winter.
But the idea being that, okay, you know, where is the black? The black could be at the front, could be at the back, there could be a single band, there could be two bands. You know, but if it's towards the front of the caterpillar, that means, you know, in like a lion. And then if you don't have another band at the back end, out like a lamb, right? So
right.
Early part of winter is bad, you know, later on. If it's black at the back, it's the opposite, obviously. Oh, not too bad at the beginning, but then out like a lion. But there are 13 segments to these caterpillars. Actually, that's not entirely true, but let's just say that. And so that's supposed to correlate to the 13 weeks of winter, right? And so if you take a look at the width of the band across the segments, then that can help you to really fine-tune it to say, I'm getting a snowblower out, you know, the second week of December, right?
Right.
Well, here's the challenge. The banding is somewhat based on genetics. There's variability, and we see this among a lot of different butterfly and moth caterpillars. There's just simply inherent variability. Also, how long they fed, and to some degree, what they fed on. So the bands can vary based on whether or not they fed on a certain thing, but how long they fed before, you know, they reached maturity. So it is a shame because, you know, it's still a nice thing to talk about, and you could just claim that the source was me, and let's just ignore him, and, you know, then you would be joining my wife and friends and family, right? You know, just ignore him.
And the kids.
Yeah, and kids, yeah. But it is still fun, and they are starting to come out in abundance. A number of these caterpillars will feed on field crops. Alfalfa is a big one, for example, which isn't exactly a field crop, but you know what I'm saying. It feeds on, you know, in croplands. And so right now, we're starting to see them move out as we start seeing the field crops decline. And they can really be in large numbers, just like the stinging caterpillars. You know, you sometimes see populations high, other times low. So woolly bear or woolly worm caterpillars, this is the time of year to enjoy them. Just don't handle them.
And they're looking for a place to overwinter, right?
They're looking for a place to overwinter. They're looking for a nice kind of protected spot to spend the winter. And that's the goal. Now, the very final thing, though, just before we start hearing the music, is the final folklore is, are they crawling north or are they crawling south? And, of course, if they're crawling south, you know, they're getting out of Dodge, they're saying.
Right.
This could be glaciation time. I don't know what happens if they crawl east and west.
Do you know why the woolly banded caterpillar crosses the road?
Oh, no. Here we go.
To prove to the chicken that it can.
Oh, God.
Buggy Joe Boggs, always a pleasure. Great information. We will talk to you next Saturday.
Take care, Ron.
All right. Bye-bye. Thanks to all of our callers today. Thanks to all of our sponsors. Thanks, of course, to the Durango kid, Danny Gleason. Because as you all well know, without Danny Gleason, none of this stuff would have happened. Truly, none of it. So thank you, Dan, for all that you do. Now, do yourself a favor. Think about where you're going to plant those native plants this fall. Where are you going to plant some more pollinator plants? Plant some more trees, especially a sweet gum, and make it the best weekend of your life. See ya. Keep watering.
How is your garden growing? Call Ron now at 1-800-823-TALK. You're listening to In the Garden with Ron Wilson.